Calm down now. It's okay. Go ahead. You've done such beautiful work there. If you have a prayer request, if you'll fill out one of the prayer cards in the pews in front of you, lift them up. The ushers will bring them to us, or Joanna just handed to me. Thank you. But before we do prayers, does anyone have a praise they'd like to share with us? Miss Sue.
I have a prayer. Debbie Moore and I went down to Apollo Beach Friday and spent the day with Joanne Wildman. She said to tell everyone here hello. She loves them. She misses them. And she looks great.
That's because of Corey down there, who's the pastor down there at the church where she's going. Yes. Okay. Any other praises?
I just want to thank...
Oh, hey, let me get the mic there.
I just want to thank God for a safe trip down to Lakeland from North Carolina.
This is home, I'm sorry. You need to
are
say...
Are we... Where?
A safe trip home. Because see, once you come here, this is home. You may live somewhere else, but this is home.
Okay.
See, it comes from my daddy saying, son, if they ever come to Florida and get sand in the shoes, they're coming back. Anyone else with a praise? Welcome home. Anyone else with a praise? Prayer concerns. I'm supposed to get this to a special place. Is that good enough, Barb?
Yeah.
Okay. We're asked to pray for Sharon Hughes, as Sharon will be having outpatient surgery on her sciatica nerve Wednesday, so pray for her. Nate Beebe, grandson of Joanne, who's undergoing chemo. Thank you. Martina Willamy, who is in rehab, so we want to pray for her. Jackie Webb should be in rehab. She had a stent put in this week. We want to continue to pray for her. Yes, ma'am? Oh, you have a praise. Let me get a mic. See why I don't need a gym membership?
Good morning,
good morning,
everybody members. Thank God, thank the preacher, thank every member of this church and the prayer team people and the people all over the world. Maria and our prayer group, the Sunday School prayer group, and the rabbi of Maria's church. He made it, and thank God, we know where he is. Thank God. God was able to take him himself. We didn't commit murder. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sylvia. Don't forget, the service for Kenneth Drummond will be here Saturday at 11 o'clock. Saturday at 11. Visitation 10 to 11 before that. So we want to pray for the Drummond family, others who have passed on this week. Any other prayer requests? Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we again come before your throne of grace. I praise you and thank you for this day. Praise you and thank you for the power of prayer. Thank you that no matter what the situation may be, no matter where we may be, doesn't even matter if we can really put it into words or not. If we can just think it to you even, that you hear us. That you're there, ready to respond to the prayers that we lift up. Thank you that you're here beside us even today. And wherever we may be, what a wonderful God we serve, the one that will never leave nor forsake us. As we come to you, let us praise you, Lord, for all of your goodness, your mercy, and your grace which you have shed upon not only us, but all the world and mankind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for the blood that flowed down Calvary. Thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives inside each and every believer. As we come now, we do lift certain requests before you, Lord. You've instructed us to lift those needs in the body before you. So I just lift our church before you as it's undergoing this, I'm going to use the word metamorphosis, Lord. as you are pulling at us and stretching us and causing us, it looks like, to maybe divide, we just ask that you would be here within the Methodist Church and within Lake Gibson United Methodist Church and all the others. And that as we go through this process, Lord, may you just comfort us. May you be with us. May you give us wisdom. May you give us insight. And may your Holy Spirit guide and direct each of us as we have to make decisions for ourselves. As we come, we pray for these requests that are before you this day. Those such as Sharon that will be undergoing surgeries and procedures this week, we lift them before you. Those that have already undergone surgeries and procedures, such as Jackie and Martina, and are now in rehab, we thank you for their continued progress and ask that you would even now be with them as their bodies strengthen to get them back on their feet and going again very soon. We thank you for those that have prayed for all of these and for the families and the caregivers and the nurses and the doctors and others that have surrounded them with the good care and taking care of them. Ask you to bless them even as others come in that need their care. Lord, there are others we think of that need your prayer. We pray for those that are undergoing chemo, thinking of Roy Bodemeyer and others, Lord, Jerry and others that have an ongoing fight here where they're taking these treatments. We just lift them before you. For those who have lost loved ones, we just pray for them in a special way. We still think of this helicopter crash from last week, Lord, and just lift all those before you, as well as police officers that have been killed in the line of duty and others that have been killed through car accidents or other acts of violence. Whatever the case may be, we lift those families before you that have lost loved ones this week. Pray for our military. Thank you for the reminder from Fran, Lord, to update our prayer list, and let us remember each and every day to pray for those who serve around the world and those who serve here at home within our law enforcement community and our emergency personnel community. Thank you for all of those that work so hard to keep us safe and give us the freedoms we have. Watch over them and protect them. Now I just pray that you will be with us this day. Even now, may you be preparing our hearts to receive your word. Even now, may you just take over, and may this service be all about you. We ask it in your matchless name. Amen. Who wants to be the first one to answer the pop quiz? Boy, nobody. We don't have a... Wait, was that Dwight or was that Sue? That was a double hand. It was Dwight? Sue White. I thought it was Betty White, but okay. Who could tell me what I preached about last week? The church. Okay, I talked about the church I wanted to see, if you remember. And we commented there at the end that we could have that church if we would live into the things that we had talked about there. Church being all about Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit and other things. I want to continue on the church for a little bit. Let me remind you of some scripture found in Leviticus. In Leviticus, I was speed reading, wasn't it? In Leviticus, God said to the people, I will walk among you. I will be your God. You shall be my people. What if I told you that God has always been about calling people to him? That he's always been about making a people for himself, if you will. He's a God of call. Think back to the creation story. Even when you go back to the creation story, what's the first thing we read? God says, or God calls out, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke the world into existence, or he called the world into existence, we might could say. When Adam and Eve ate of that forbidden fruit, probably wasn't an apple, by the way, guys, but when they ate of that forbidden fruit, and they were hiding from God, what was God doing? Do you remember? He was walking around, where are you? Come here, I want to talk to you guys, where you at? He was calling them even as they were rebelling against him. He called Abraham to worship and serve him and him only. He called Moses to lead his people into freedom. He called Joshua to take them into the promised land. He called the Israelites over and over to come to him and to be his people. We get to the New Testament, and Jesus calls the disciples. He calls them to be his core group, his people, to go out and make his name known to others. He calls us today to be what we call the church. Do you know that we're supposed to be a peculiar people, a particular people, a special people, because God has called us? We're to be his. We are his because he called us. We are to be of the people that not only are called by God, but that are shaped by God. That's who we are. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read this as Jesus talks about the calling of his people. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that this Son of Man is?" "Who do you say I am?" is what he says in other versions. They said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone he was the Messiah. Word of God for the people of God. The church is built on what Peter said, identifying Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. I want you to pick something up there that came to me when I was writing this that we normally don't pick up. When Jesus said, "Who do you say I am?" Remember what he said? He said, "Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God." The living God, not the God that's out there on a totem pole or an idol, the living God. And I just wonder when I read this, hey, was the Holy Spirit, was Peter, was Jesus through this giving us a look at the fact that he was going to get up out of the grave because he's part of the living God? And the living God doesn't die. Don't know, it just dawned on me as I was putting that together. But the church is made up of the people who answer that question, "Who am I?" to say, "You are the Son of the living God. You are Jesus Christ." That's who we're supposed to be if you're in this church or any church. If you're a member of the church, that's what we say that you are. Not only does God call us to himself, he calls us for a specific task. Did you know that? Go back to when they were building the tabernacle. When God gave Moses all those plans for the tabernacle, and he had to build the breastplate of righteousness and all this stuff, and they had to build the brass bowls and all this stuff, he told Moses, "Moses, go get these guys, because I've put the talent in these guys to do this. You go get them. They're supposed to do this." He had one that was going to set the jewels and stuff, one that was supposed to do the molding of the brass and all this stuff. He had others that were supposed to put the tent together and sew it and color it and dye it and everything else. He gave everybody a task and called them and said, "I gave them the talents to do this. Use them." And then Paul in the New Testament tells us that you and I have been given talents and that every one of us is supposed to use the talent that we have been given, the call that we have been given, if you will, to enhance the body. Everybody's call is not the same. It's the same to come into the body of Christ, but then the call that he gives us for our particular job may not be the same. You don't believe that? Look at Jeremiah 1:5. God told Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were ever conceived, Jeremiah, before anybody ever thought you would even be born, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. And I, God, appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." You know, God's already appointed us to be his people and to do certain things. He appointed Sue to be a bookkeeper and to write them checks that we like. He appointed others, Debbie, to run the sound, teach children. He appointed Glenda to be able to play the piano and lead music. He appointed Bob to be able to sing in the choir. Whatever you're doing, God gave you that. And he called you to do that. He knew you were going to do that. As we continue in Matthew, in a parable that Jesus tells there, he uses this. And we've heard it many times. He says, many are called, but few are chosen. Inside this parable that he used, it means one thing, so to speak. The king was looking for people, and he was looking for those that could do it best. But we often use that to talk about the church. But I think we misuse it sometimes. Because here's the deal. God's calling everybody, all of mankind, even the people that aren't in here or won't be in here at 10:30, the people that have never darkened the doors of a church, God's still calling them. He calls all of us. When we use that word chosen, it kind of makes us think, well, we come and he picks this one and he picks that one. But if he's calling everybody, maybe we're using that wrong. What if we was to change it to be something like this? Many are called, but few answer the call. Many are called, but few will see it through to the end where they need to be. Many are called, but very few people respond. You've responded to the first call. You're here in his midst. Have you responded to the call to use your talents to the best of your ability for him? You may ask me, what is that talent? I don't know. You got to find that out yourself. Maybe you need to ask him. Maybe you need to step out and try a few times. Maybe you need to fail a couple of times to find out what your talent is. But he's calling us all to do something within the body. Peter, now remember who Peter is. He's the one that said, you are the Messiah. Peter, in his epistle, says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to confirm your call. Now, we often take that and we say, well, to confirm my call, it just means to make sure that I'm part of the body of Christ. Well, yeah, that's part of it. But maybe we need to go a little deeper. Maybe he's telling us, confirm the call that God has placed on your life, not only to be part of the body, but to be doing what you're supposed to be doing, whatever that may be. Maybe being a prayer warrior. Maybe being a worker in the kitchen. Whatever it is, Paul seems to be saying, you need to be finding out what that is, and you need to be doing it. Now, everybody knows who Michelangelo is, right? The great painter and the sculptor. Do you think he just got up one day and said, I'm going to make this sculpture and this is going to be perfect. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do this painting and it's going to be perfect. How many trial verses do you think he had before he created David? How many trial verses did Picasso have before he was satisfied with a painting? In fact, have you heard the arguments going on now that they think they found another painting underneath Mona Lisa? That while Mona Lisa's there, it's a canvas that's been painted over, maybe? Artists just don't become famous overnight, do they? They got to go through a bunch of canvases that get thrown away before they have a masterpiece. Why should we think we're any different in the spiritual realm? We have to step out and hone the talents that God has given us. I'll guarantee you, if you would have heard the first sermon I ever preached, you would never have asked me to come here. And you would be even now asking me to leave. Not that I'm that great now, but you have to work and hone the talents that God has given us. Paul in 1 Corinthians 7:17 said this, however that may be, let each of you lead the life that the Lord has assigned you to which God called you. There's that call again. He's called each of us into a certain segment of life, and we need to live that out. It may be the life of a parent for a while, then a grandparent. It may be the life of a salesperson, of a truck driver, of a receptionist, of a nurse, of a teacher, a janitor, an aid, whatever it is, God calls us to be where we are and to be a witness for him, if you will. 2 Timothy 1:9, Paul said this, that he who saved us, that's Jesus, right, called us with a holy calling, even though it's spelled wrong. Every one of us have a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and his grace. God called each one of us that's part of the church to be his. Continued in that verse, he says, the grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. In other words, before you were born, he already knew what he was calling you to do. I guess the question is, have you answered the call? We need to remember that in our specific calling, there is also a specific purpose. And I think we often get caught up in our call and forget the big picture, which is what? The church is supposed to be edifying Jesus Christ, building up Christ, pointing people to him. We are to be a witness to those we come into contact with. Acts 1:8. You can probably quote this to me. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That was what Jesus told the disciples and tells you and I as the church today. You will be my witnesses in Lakeland, Kathleen, Mulberry, Bartow, back North Carolina, whatever you call your other place of residence, because this is home, but whatever. You'll be my witness wherever you are. How are we doing at that? We're called as individuals to our various responsibilities within the world and the body of Christ. We're called as individuals to witness for Christ, but we're also called as a body of believers, the church, to be a witness for God. We're called, we've talked about this, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. To make disciples of Jesus Christ, not to make disciples of ourselves, not to make little Steves or little Joes or anything else, but to make more people like Jesus Christ. To make disciples, that's our call. We're to be witnesses for God, not witnesses for ourselves. That means if we're a witness for God, we have to have God's DNA in us, right? If you will. If we're witnesses for God, we're supposed to be representing him. Now, go on to Ephesians 1:5. Ephesians 1:5 tells us that he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to his good pleasure and his good will. So each of us have been adopted into the family of God, right? You with me so far? Now, Pat's not here, so I can do this because I won't be talking about her. Within your physical body, you have certain DNA. There's certain traits that you kind of inherit. Like in the Pokes, it's this nose. Mine's not too bad. My Uncle Don was really bad. But anyhow, it's this nose in our part of the family. And a lack of hair. You know, in others, it may be something else. There's a certain DNA within you. That's who you are as a family. But there's more to that DNA, that family name that you learn. And you learn that through the stories that you're told. Stories I've always been told. Pat echoes that. By the way, if y'all don't know, Pat's my second or third cousin. We're not sure. I think it's third cousin. But anyhow, we both come off the same group back there in the early 1900s. We've always been told we came off of one of the brothers of James K. Polk. And that's been proven. I mean, that's one of the heritage stories we learn. There are some other heritage stories that go on within our family. Within mine, it was being a farmer and a redneck and a hunter. And I tried my best to live into that for a long time. I did that because of the stories that I were told. Because of the example that was set by my uncles and my dad and my mom and others that I followed and I lived around. Because of my sisters and my brothers and other people, my cousins basically for me anyway, since I'm the eldest. But my cousins and the cousins I hung around and the things that we did. I learned who I was and who the family was through the stories and the examples that they set for me. That's a birthright. But if you're an adopted person, how do you learn that? You have to be told the stories, don't you? You have to be immersed in it. You have to listen to him. You have to sit. You have to learn. We're adopted into God's family. But have we learned the stories that we need to from God so that we become the people he is calling us to be? Do we have his DNA in us yet? Have we learned it? Do we understand who he is, what he is, and who we are called to be because of that? That's what I want to do for the next few weeks up to Easter. I want to explore that DNA of God that we're called to replicate, if you will, into the community. That DNA that we're supposed to be bringing disciples along to have that same DNA in them. What is it? What should we be like? What is that DNA like that God calls us to pass down, if you will? Are we hearing the right stories? Are we setting the right examples for those who are coming after us? Are we really following Jesus Christ? Or have we kind of got off track? And that's what I want to explore for the next 6 or 7 weeks. So, for today, take your connection card as we approach the table. What is your next step? Can you memorize Jeremiah 30:22, which is, "And you shall be my people, and I will be your God"? If you memorize that, realize that I'm called. I'm God's, and I need to be his, and he is mine. Or maybe for the first time, you see the church a little different. Maybe we all need to think about this, that we see the church not as being Lake Gibson United Methodist Church. I mean, that's okay. But that we see the church as God's people, those he has called together, those he has called here for a special purpose, those that he has put a talent in, and he wants them to be a part of this local body. That would include you as well as the person you don't like sitting across the street from you, or across the, on the, you know, this side and that side, they don't talk. And Lord forbid, what service do they go to? They go to the 8 o'clock service. Well, that's why I don't know them. I don't go to the 8 o'clock service. But yet we're all one body. We're all one church. Or maybe you could check this one. You realize you're one of the called. God has a special purpose for you. Or maybe we need to check the one that says, you know, I may not necessarily agree with all that stuff, but I see that God calls everyone. And maybe they just haven't heard that call yet. And maybe what I need to pray is I need to pray that they'll hear you calling them, God. Or maybe what I really need to pray, Lord, is instead of looking at that speck they've got, I need to pray you'll take this log out of my eye and open my ear to hear your call, so that I know where I need to fit in. Whatever you can do, we invite you to check that. But before we pass the plate, we're going to celebrate communion today. So I remind you that within the Methodist Church and within any church I serve, the table is open to any and all. You don't have to be